Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Today we're doing a deep dive that brings together two worlds you wouldn't normally connect.
Right.
Clinical public health and, well, radical whimsy. Our source is a reflection from the Church of Tinkerbell, a community you might know for its focus on kindness, glitter, and human dignity.
It's a fascinating juxtaposition, isn't it? I mean, usually when you talk about HIV/AIDS awareness, the conversation gets very clinical, very factual.
Or worse, stuck in old moral panics.
Exactly. What's so compelling here is how this reflection just pivots. It moves to explore the role of things like care, compassion, and human dignity as actual public health tools.
Absolutely. And that's really our mission for you today, to unpack that unique perspective. The source suggests that medicine alone isn't enough. We need a cultural shift. It challenges us right away, focusing on the light that's still so often withheld. You know, things as simple as presence, understanding, uncomplicated human dignity.
And they argue that in a society that's still dealing with so much inherited fear from the, you know, the early days of the epidemic, kindness itself becomes an act of rebellion.
Kindness is rebellion.
Kindness is resistance against ignorance.
Okay, wait, I want to pause on that for a second. A community that's all about whimsy and optimism. Why do they need to frame kindness as a fight, as a rebellion?
It's a great question, and it's key to their whole ethic. It's simple, but it's confronting a really harsh reality, they say. When pain is real, kindness has to be real.
Okay.
And when shame's inherited, compassion has to be loud enough to actually break it. So if the default setting in society is still judgment, then choosing curiosity and truth over misinformation, well, that is a revolutionary act. It disrupts things.
That makes a lot of sense. So learning the facts is one thing, but the emotional work of choosing dignity is the other half of the battle.
Right.
But as the reflection itself stresses, we have to ground all this wonder in reality. HIV is a virus. It's not a moral verdict. It's a biological challenge.
And if we look at the bigger picture, the data really underscores why this is still so urgent. The 2024 global estimates, which they use in their call to action, they're incredibly sobering. We're talking about 40.8 million people living with HIV globally.
40.8 million, that's a staggering number. And it's not just a historical total, right? This is an ongoing crisis.
It's absolutely immediate. In 2024 alone, an estimated 1.3 million people acquired HIV.
Wow.
And tragically, even with all the medical advances we have, about 630,000 people still died from AIDS-related illnesses. These numbers are just a blunt reminder that we're not done yet.
And bringing that data a bit closer to home, for the United States, in 2023, there were over 39,000 new diagnoses in the U.S. and its territories. And the source is careful to point out, these diagnoses are not evenly spread.
Not at all. You see these persistent disparities, regionally, racially, demographically. It's basically a map of inequality.
Right.
And this is where that focus on human dignity becomes so vital. The reflection just keeps hammering this point. These aren't just statistics. These numbers are made of people.
Yeah.
Someone's partner, their sibling, their child. This is a human challenge.
So if that's the sobering reality of it, this is where the narrative shifts. This is where we get to the information that really combats that that 1980s freeze frame you mentioned.
Yes.
The truth is that modern treatment has completely changed the game, and that's the good news we should be shouting.
That is the essential pivot.
Yeah.
The source insists on it. That real kindness means spreading scientifically sound, hopeful information. And the medical reality today is transformative. For many people living with HIV, if they take their antiretroviral therapy, their RT, as prescribed, they can reach and maintain an undetectable viral load. And this changes everything.
And that leads us right to the public health message that really everyone needs to know. Undetectable equals untransmittable. We have to spend some real time here because this is the linchpin.
Yeah.
Let's just confirm the science for everyone listening. What does zero risk actually mean?
It means exactly that. The science is incredibly clear on this. A person living with HIV who is on treatment and has a consistent undetectable viral load has zero risk of transmitting HIV to their sexual partners.
Zero.
Zero. This isn't a guess. It's not a hypothesis. It's an established, evidence-based fact confirmed across thousands and thousands of couples.
I have to push back a little just because for decades we were taught something so different. It takes real mental work to unlearn that fear and accept zero risk. Why isn't this common knowledge?
And that is the tragedy the reflection points to. The science is settled, but public awareness is like decades behind. The Church of Tinkerbell's insight here is just brilliant. They say the UU is more than a medical fact.
It's what?
It is a stigma-removing, life-giving, relationship-healing truth. When shame tells you you're dangerous, this medical fact proves that's wrong. The real tragedy is that gap between scientific progress and social adoption.
So the science has given us the tools. But stigma, the old social response, is actively undermining them. The reflection argues stigma isn't just rude, it's dangerous, it's costly.
It is a literal barrier to care. The source lists the specific ways it does harm. Stigma reduces testing. People fear the social result more than the medical one.
Sure.
It discourages honest conversations, it interrupts care, and maybe worst of all, it isolates people right when they need community the most.
And the core idea, which is so powerful, is that when we shame people for a health condition, we're not being moral. We are actively protecting ignorance. We're choosing fear over facts.
Mm-hmm.
And they illustrate this perfectly with this little story, the Tinkerbell parable about borrowed light.
It's such an effective analogy. It describes this village that had all these lanterns, but they kept them locked away. They convinced themselves that light had to be rationed, you know, only for the wise or the pure.
They turn light into a judgment, not a gift.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So one night a traveler shows up, their lamp is flickering, almost out. They need oil. And the village, instead of offering oil, they offer judgment. They moralize about why the traveler's light wasn't bright enough to begin with.
And the traveler just walks on into the darkness. And then next winter, the whole village is darker. Not because there was less light, but because there was less generosity.
Yes. The parable hits so hard because you immediately see the connection. A community that hoards compassion, that rations dignity. It just becomes spiritually poor. It thinks it's protecting its own light, but really it's just letting the darkness in.
That's a really powerful way to frame it, and it provides this foundation for action. We have the science with you all, but we're held back by the social problem of stigma. This all ties into the World AIDS Day 2025 theme they mentioned, doesn't it?
It does. Overcoming disruption, transforming the AIDS response. That theme confirms that progress isn't passive. It takes work. We have the tools. Now we need the will to use them.
So let's get practical. What does the reflection ask you, the listener, to actually do? How do you participate in this light sharing if you're not an activist or a doctor?
It offers four really grounded steps. The first one is all about personal education. Number one, learn and gently correct myths.
Okay.
This means really internalizing that HIV is not spread by hugging, sharing food, using the same bathroom. It sounds basic. But those old fears are still out there.
And the gently correct part, how do you do that?
I think the gentle part is key. You're addressing fear with clarity, not with more shame. If you hear something outdated, you can just say, actually, modern treatment is so effective that a person with an undetectable viral load can't transmit the virus.
Yeah.
One clear, accurate sentence.
That's doable. And it connects to the second step, which is about changing the culture around testing. Normalize testing as routine care.
Absolutely. We need to shift our mindset. Getting an HIV test should be like getting your blood pressure checked. It's just maintenance, it's not a confession.
It's a sign of responsibility, not a sign of risk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The final two actions are a bit broader. Number three is to support access and equity.
Right.
Because you is amazing, but not everyone has access to the treatment that makes it possible.
So this is about putting resources behind the kindness.
Yes. Supporting local testing centers or groups that serve LGBTQIA+ communities or global organizations fighting for treatment access. Kindness needs to be tangible.
And the last one feels very central to the Church of Tinkerbell's whole philosophy. Choose language that treats people like people.
This is foundational. Their guidance is so clear. I always say people living with HIV. Avoid dehumanizing terms like HIV victims or that awful clean versus dirty language.
Right.
Language really does shape our reality. When we choose person-first language, we build a culture of dignity, one conversation at a time.
So this whole deep dive really shows that the most radical act is just combining scientific truth with unconditional compassion. The science gives us you, and this reflection gives us the ethical framework for how to use that truth.
And in its closing, the reflection has this gentle, direct invitation. To those of you living with HIV, it says, You are a whole person. You are not a cautionary tale. You deserve pleasure and peace and safety and all the ordinary joys of life.
Mm.
And to those who love them, it says, let your love be loud enough to drown out all that cultural noise.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Their closing beliefs really sum up everything we've talked about. Evidence is a form of care. Compassion isn't optional. And you measure a community by how it acts when fear would be easier.
So what does this all mean for you as you take this into your own life? We want to leave you with this provocative thought to mull over. What would it look like to practice the rebellion of kindness without conditions? If you really started with the idea that knowledge and compassion should be shared freely, how would that change the conversations you have? Reflect on how sharing knowledge doesn't diminish your light. It makes the whole community brighter. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.